Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, ready to roll. Thanks to Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Go over to Insperity.com. Go hire Insperity to do all your HR compliance and service. They're the best HR company there is. Nice to have you aboard on a Saturday morning as we take you through the latest as far as the 152nd Open Championship. A ton of veteran major champion winning names up around the top of this leaderboard. We've got Charlie Epps with us to break it down. Charlie, what's going on?
You know, the Open Championship is going on way over across the pond, and Justin Thomas is lighting it up because of no wind. He's 5 under today, 1 under for the tournament, so it's going to be a great day for golf.
Charlie, Justin Thomas, there was a 10-shot difference between his first and second round. He's done this from time to time in majors. Obviously, he's a 2-time major championship winner. You've gotten to watch him a little bit this morning. As far as putting together four rounds and limiting the inconsistencies between rounds, what's JT going to have to do to kind of get back to the winner's circle of a major?
Well, he knows that it's all or nothing, and he goes out and he's swinging for the fences. And sometimes, you know, it goes awry and he gets going the wrong direction. But what he's trying to do, and that's trying to shoot a score as low as possible. And sometimes he's got to be a little more conservative in certain shots to keep that run going. But I like his form of play, and hopefully he can shoot 5 under the back nine this morning, and all of a sudden he's going to be back into the tournament.
He's an excellent shot maker. We saw that a few years back at the Players, you know, when the wind got up a ton and Justin Thomas somehow manufactured a 74-round TPC Sawgrass. I mean, that type of ball striking is able to work different trajectories. I have no doubts in the future Justin Thomas at some point becomes an Open champion. Charlie, your student, Angel Cabrera, played a couple Opens at Troon, and he was in eighth place after two rounds at the 97 Open at Troon. Justin Leonard would go on to win, and Eduardo Romero would end up taking low Argentine. But what did you and Angel think of Royal Troon?
Well, Royal Troon is a great golf course. It's one of the 10 that they really use. It's in the rota. They rotate the different courses every year, but it's within the top 10. In not only Scotland but in England. I like Royal Troon, but it's not my favorite.
You have the Senior Open hosting at Carnoustie next week. St. Andrews hosted the Open 2 years ago, and Liverpool was last year. It seems like, Charlie, the RNA, they get it right 1 year after another with the golf courses. It's tough to ignore that with U.S. Opens, you've had LACC, Chambers Bay, 16-under at Erin Hills. The RNA seems to adjust their courses based on distance that's going up on the PGA Tour. It seems like they're a lot more on top of their golf courses. Am I off there?
Well, I think Boo Weekly had the great comment about the RNA and the Open Championship. He says he doesn't understand why they don't have it in the summer, because their weather is so ridiculously, you know, harsh sometimes. And when you get those bad winds and the scores go up, and you'll see, you know, the guys wearing cashmere and stuff like that. But, you know, the courses are, you know, the RNA's got the right to have the 10 best courses. That's the direction the USGA is going presently. It's going to that. And courses like Chambers Bay and those courses, you won't see them have a U.S. Open again until it's proven that it can, you know, make the players play to par and not to, you know, have a birdie fest.
Shane Lowry, he is the leader at 7 under par. He won the Open back in 2019 at Port Rush. It's been an interesting go since. He has a few European Tour titles since, but has not won on the PGA Tour other than the Zurich two-ball earlier this year with Rory. You were the coach, you played in the Zurich two-ball way back when you came in second alongside Blaine McAllister. Did that fuel Blaine at all for the rest of the year?
Well, sure it did. It gave him confidence, and, you know, we teamed up pretty well, but we saw a few things that made him a little better player. You know, that those are the type of things that you look for in a partnership tournament. But, you know, the only problem that our leader has today is that he won it in 2019, and Sean is still celebrating. That was the biggest event of his life, of his country, that he could win the Open Championship at Port Rush on the Emerald Isle and get everybody drunk for, you know. It was incredible. So, but he's still quite a golfer, and I think he's got a good chance to bring it home.
Charlie, the winner of last week's Scottish Open, Robert McIntyre, he's a Scottish native, and on the range this week before the second round, everyone was giving him grief because he said he was still hungover from his win the week before there at the Renaissance Club. I mean, these Europeans, they just know how to celebrate better, don't they?
Well, they celebrate. Yes, they do. They're not afraid to sit in a pub and hash over the win and buy everybody a drink and just live life to its fullest.
The cut line was 6 over, with 76 professionals and 4 amateurs making it the weekend. Most people that watch PGA Tour golf on a week-to-week basis are going to see the cut line somewhere around 4 or 5 under par. For someone that is just tuning in this weekend, how can you describe how this cut line gets to 6 over at an Open?
Well, it's because of the weather. It's a golf course that's right on the sea, and the weather up north. You know, Scotland is really north of the equator. It's you know, so much higher. It's like Canada, and so the weather can get really nasty. And when that wind goes up on a golf course, that little ball won't pay attention to the player. It's going to pay attention to the wind. And so you've got to learn how to really flight the ball and be lucky. And so it's a wind situation. The cold is not that bad, or the rain, but it's the wind.
Yeah, no doubt, Charlie. Creativity has trumped power, especially at Royal Troon. We've seen that firsthand at Troon this week as U.S. Open champion Bryson DeChambeau's mechanical game plan has been destroyed by the high winds there in South Ayrshire. Our producer Austin has some audio from DeChambeau after his first round. Let's hear more on that from DeChambeau.
When there's so many measurements going on in your mind,
there's not that many. there's a couple.
Like,
yeah, there's a couple, but not that many.
Many things that are maybe incalculable.
Incalculatable.
There you go.
I'm gonna go figure it out. It's something equipment related. The golf balls, I mean, look, I'm not at 190 ball speed, right? So particularly when I'm hitting driver or 3-wood, those clubs are built for around that speed, at 190 ball speed, and my 3-wood around like 180. And so colder, firmer conditions, the golf ball's not compressing as much. So it's probably something along those lines, but felt like I was swinging it somewhat okay. It just, the ball wasn't coming off in the window that I normally see. So it was a weird day. I didn't get any practice in it, and I didn't really play much in the rain, and it's a difficult test out here. something I'm not familiar with. I never grew up playing it, and not to say that that's the reason I finished eighth at St. Andrews, you know. So I can do it when it's warm and not windy.
So, Charlie, how, after six Open Championships, how has Bryson DeChambeau, the master of reinvention, how is he still unable to figure it out at these Opens?
Well, it's just like he said. He just hasn't played in that environment and set up his equipment for those type of golf shots and those type of, you know, the wind and the cold makes the golf ball act differently, and he's having trouble adjusting. And that's the only problem he has when he's trying to, you know, his club head speed is getting close to 190 miles an hour. And you're off just a little. You're hitting it out of the rough all day long, and you can't score from the rough. You got to be able to stay in the fairway.
As far as game planning for Opens, and maybe this is something that DeChambeau needs to change, comparing links golf to open golf, Charlie, as far as the amount of drivers you're taking out, is the game plan off the tee on links golf to try to hit the ball as far as you can, like a lot of courses in the States, or are you trying to strategically place it for your second shot?
Well, I can remember our good friend Tiger Woods. He won one of his Open Championships, and he very seldom hit a driver. He's hitting two irons off the tees all day long and letting the ball run out 50, 60, 80, you know, 70 yards. So that way he avoids those bunkers. You know, the hazard on a links golf course are the bunkers. There's no water. It's next to the ocean, but it has no water that's in play. But you get in the high rough, and the rough over there, like my good friend Rufus Wallingford always said, it's the roughest stuff you'll ever play in. And so between the rough and the unfair bunkers, you're not going to have the scores that we're used to in America, because we don't have those hazards on the golf course.
And this, you know, we've heard a lot this week, you know, at Royal Troon, the first six holes are what you have to jump on. Four and six are very gettable par fives. That's the second stretch of six holes, 6 through 12. You've got the railroad hole to come in. You've got more out of bounds coming in. And then the final six holes plays dead into you, into the wind. Do you see more trouble off the tee at Royal Troon compared to other links courses?
Well, I think it's more on the second shot, because Troon, is, you know, they didn't build Troon with a bulldozer. And so the fairways have moguls in them. And so you have a lot of uneven lies, although you're playing at sea level. It's not like playing in the mountains, but those little moguls that you have uphill, side hill lies, and you're trying to be accurate with it. And sometimes it's difficult to control the ball off of the lies coming in on Troon's seven last holes because of the way the terrain plays. And that's a big, big problem.
We got some questions coming in for you, Charlie. We'll get those answered on the other side. Shane Lowry's your leader. He was the 2019 Open winner at Royal Portrush. He's a six-time European Tour winner and three-time PGA Tour winner. He has the experience. He could go the distance. We'll talk about him more a little bit later on. And then Dan Brown, what a story. Tied for second alongside fellow Englishman Justin Rose. And Dan Brown's a DP World Tour member who's made one cut in his last eight starts. He was a final qualifier at the West Lancaster side about a month ago. We'll talk about more about that on the other side. Get to some of your questions for Charlie. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity on ESPN Houston. Back after this.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
And of course, Charlie and I are able to talk about golf each and every week thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR performance. And for more on Insperity, we go to the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Insperity, a company that really cares about its community. It cares about its employees. And for example, they get a certain amount of time that they can dedicate to charities to help their community. But their philosophy in business is they want their small business to succeed so communities can prosper. That's a very simple philosophy. You want to help the small businesses of the world. If they're successful, the communities around them are going to be successful. And they have that motto, if you will, and they treat their employees so well, just like they treat their customers. And if you want to be a customer of Insperity, give them a call. Log on to Insperity.com and find out what kind of company they are. And they're a first-class company because of their philosophy on doing business and taking care of people. They are the champs of taking care of people. You will not be neglected. I'm so proud to have been with them since 1986 and see them grow from zero to 7 billion and then from zero employees to 4,000. And you have that growth not because of good people, but a good product, which is kindness. So give them a call and finish out the year strong. And I guarantee you, you'll be very happy if you get in business with Insperity, the company that cares.
Once again, that is Insperity.com. And we continue as far as the Open Championship is concerned. Shane Lowry leads the way at 7-under. Daniel Brown and Justin Rose, two Englishmen that are two back at 5-under. Charlie, as far as these notable missed cuts, and one other thing, let's start with this, Charlie. You look at the front nine scoring average at Troon. Round one, 37.95. Round two, 37.92. Round three this morning, 35.26. Course is playing a little more gettable this morning, Charlie.
Yes. Hang on. I was distracted there.
No problem. Let me repeat this to you. I was talking about how much easier Troon is playing this morning rather than the first two rounds. In round one, the front nine scoring average was 37.95.
Right.
Round two was 37.92. This morning, 35.26. Could we see someone seriously make a move this morning?
Sure you can. I mean, Justin Thomas is doing that. He just shot 5-under the front side, and he's parred the first two holes. He's just finished the 11th hole, which is an extremely hard par four with the railroad running down the right of the hole where Roy hit it out of bounds to start his round, and now he's on vacation. So the back nine, you know, the back nine is, it just has a great variety of directions and par fives and par threes, and they finish with a good par four.
You talked about Rory packing his bags early. He told the London Times yesterday after his round, after missing the cut, that he was already thinking about vacation after 22 holes. As far as these missed cuts, you know, Rory McIlroy, Akshay Bhatia, Keegan Bradley, Tony Finau, Victor Hovland, Cam Smith, any of these guys you really expected to play well this week before they packed their bags on Friday evening?
Well, yeah. Justin Thomas, he had a good...
he made the cut. He made the cut. Yeah. We're talking about notable MCs there, Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Let me give you a couple of these names again. As far as missed cuts, you had Tiger Woods miss the cut. We'll talk about him a little bit later on. Rory McIlroy missed the cut. Tony Finau missed the cut, and then your defending FedEx Cup champion Victor Hovland also missed the cut.
Yeah, no, Victor was a surprise. Victor, I thought any time he's going to break through and win a major championship. And him being from Europe and have played this golf course many times, I'm surprised that he's not in the fray, but he's also missed the cut. So very, very, very strange.
Yeah. I find it, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the history and the last 5 years of this tournament, I was surprised that three of the last four winners, Charlie, three of the last four 36-hole leaders at the Open went on to win. You would think this is a little bit of a harder event to close, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but once you get out in front and you have that cushion of a lead, if you know how to take care of the golf ball, you can keep it pretty close to 70 without having a problem, unless the weather really gets away from you. But you know, it's a golf course that if you get out in front, it's hard to have the field catch up behind you.
No question. Let's get to a couple questions, Charlie. We've got a Jerry in Dublin, Ohio. He asked, Charlie, what's been your lessons to students out of greenside pot bunkers? How can you get the ball up in the air quicker out of the sand, like we're seeing some of these players do at Royal Troon?
Bend over and pick it up and throw it out. I've been in many of them, and if you get close to the edges of the bunker, it's very hard. You got to go backwards, that's hard to do. So, or go sideways. But don't think you can go, you know, if you're too close to the front of the bunker, you got to go a different direction. So, I've never seen a bunker like they have where you can practice out of them and get good at it. So, good luck.
That was actually we're gonna, as far as pot bunkers, Charlie, I mean, how about that one on the right side of the eighth hole at Troon, you know, also known as the Post's Champ? How does a par three, playing only 123 yards the last 2 days, the scoring average has been 3.18? I mean, that's, you know, it's a short par three there, Charlie.
Well, but yet it plays differently because the direction it's going, it's going back towards the ocean and the sea, and so the winds come at a different angle, and the green is really narrow. If you look at the green, it has a bunker behind, and if you get in that bunker, you know, the...
should Jerry pick it up if he gets in that bunker?
Well, who made an eight there?
I believe it was Robert McIntyre, Charlie.
Well, no, not McIntyre, the Chilean guy.
Oh, Joaquin Neiman.
Neiman, and he still shot even par, but yeah, he got sideways in the wrong position of those bunkers, and you get behind, and then he hit it out of the bunker, went into the bunker in front. So it's a nightmare of a hole, and especially with the wind being the way it is.
Yeah, Neiman, Charlie, really had it going. And you want to talk about, you know, a couple players in mind that haven't quite performed well at majors up to their standards is Max Homa and Joaquin Neiman. Homa made a big-time putt yesterday to make the cut at 6-under, and Neiman had it at that 2-under before he got to that short par 3. Still at even par, still a chance for him. I'm looking forward to, you know, 25 years old, Joaquin Neiman, he's had a ton of experience already at majors, but just hasn't quite found the formula to put four rounds together. As far as Bryson and Joaquin, Charlie, here through four majors, it's LIV Golf's, you know, third year. They're finishing up their third year. Does their schedule, does their format hurt them at all when it comes to playing a grueling 72-hole test like we're seeing at the Open?
Well, I'm not sure. They're all professional golfers. They're in good shape. They have their trainers, and they should be able to win, withstand it. It's just shot selection. And the one thing I want to point out to you about Patrick Harrington, he's the elder statesman in the group, and he's got so much experience playing these courses that, you know, he's in the top 25 right now.
Yeah, tied for 27th at 2 over, Charlie.
You know, so. So
how about Justin Rose? He's a 43-year-old veteran.
Wonderful. I mean, it's, and plus, you know, he this time of the year, you know, he won the Olympics in Brazil. You know, karma might be on his side as far as playing golf in July is concerned. So, but see, one of the things that the Americans don't do is they don't go over to Scotland and practice these courses enough. you know, they got to go spend a week over there and get used to the different shots that you don't have in America. That's number one. Number two, you know, Mr. Hogan went over there and played at one time, and he says, I won. I'm not going back, you know, because it's really difficult.
And, well, to point number one for you, you know, a lot of publications were giving Scheffler grief last week for skipping out on the Scottish, but we find out this week that he wasn't at the Renaissance. He was at Troon a week early preparing on this golf course. Looking back now, you know, Scheffler in a tie for fifth, world number one, is in excellent shape, you know, to get win number seven on the year. I think his preparation, you know, he's only played three Opens, Charlie. He's finished 23rd or better in all of them. I think that was a good way to go about preparation for Scotty.
You know, everybody should read Jack Nicklaus's book about all of his majors and what he did. And you know, he finished in 10 straight years. He was never out of the top 10 at any Open Championship. And it's because he played very conservative. He was very conservative in his driving, and Jack has always been one of the great drivers of the golf ball, but he wasn't aggressive. He waited and patience, and that's what some of these young guys need to do.
Well, maybe if they watch some of these vets atop this leaderboard, Charlie, we talked about Justin Rose, Jason Day's in a tie for ninth at one under, Adam Scott in a tie for 13th, that even that veteran wisdom, it's winning this week. Shane Lowry's, he's a veteran now. You know, he's 35 years old, Shane.
Yeah,
is.
Exactly right. And Justin Thomas right now he's worked himself back in the, he's tied for eighth.
He tied for fifth now at two under, Charlie.
Justin Thomas?
Yeah, tied for fifth.
Isn't that great?
Tied for fifth. He has, Justin Thomas has five more holes to go. He just birdied the 12th, and he got out on the front nine in 31. So he has put the pedal to the metal. We got to take a quick break. We got to talk about Tiger Woods on the other side. He shot 14 over through two rounds. Give you a recap on the Big Cat and give you some weekend picks before we get out of here. This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN Houston. Back after this.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Rock the Mic is back.
This is gonna be good.
And it's time to find the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic will receive a podcast hosted on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel.
Really? What, the YouTube?
Whether you host a podcast currently or have always wanted to start one, now's your chance. To enter, send a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic975@gmail.com. That's rockthemic975@gmail.com. Enter solo or with a co-host. The winner will be announced at our live finale on Friday, August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. So send your entries in now to rockthemic975@gmail.com.
Got what it takes to rock the mic right.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, back on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We're on Insperity, HR that makes a difference here on ESPN Houston. And yeah, Shane Lowry is your leader at 7-under. He tees off at 3:45 p.m. here, our time in the States. But as we talked about in the last segment, you've got some players making major moves today up the leaderboard. Sung J.M. shot 5-under par, vaulted 52 spots up the leaderboard to a tie for 17th. You have Justin Thomas at 6-under through 12 holes. He's boosted 33 spots up the leaderboard to a tie for 5th. And then in solo fourth is Thriston Lawrence, who is 6-under par through 8, and he has vaulted 24 spots up the leaderboard. So, Charlie, Roel Troon, a little more gettable this morning, as we've talked about. Great to be with you this morning covering the latest.
Well, it's always fun to be at a major championship. I started to go to Scotland in 1972. And it was such an experience, and I had so many so much love for that type of golf. I took hundreds of people over to Scotland and Ireland, and we had such a great time. And I can't encourage everybody enough to go over there, and if you can afford it. And there's ways you can do it where it's not that expensive. But Scotland and Ireland is fun golf for everybody.
And, you know, looking at these, you know, the venues and what's to come, you know, you've got Carnoustie hosting the Senior Open next week, Charlie. Will Angel Cabrera be there playing?
You know, I haven't heard if he got in. I'm sorry about that, and I'll find out, and hopefully he has, because he finished third at Carnoustie in the 1999 Open Championship, and he could have won it, but
look how well he's playing now, Charlie.
Yeah.
I mean, just impeccable golf. You know, a top five finish there at Firestone, won on the Senior Legends Tour a couple weeks ago. I hope he's there. I hope he's there, because I think after what I saw, he got a lot of TV time around Firestone. His game looks excellent, Charlie.
Yes, and it's a great comeback, and I'm so proud of him for what he has gone through for the last 3 years, and it just shows you, to all the people that have trouble with alcohol, get the cure, and your life will come back to you, and you'll live a better life.
And how about the changes in fitness we've seen, you know, as far as the reason Padraig Harrington is still able to contend in majors, Stuart Sink, 51 years old, still hanging around, contending at PGA Tour events. It seems that Angel has made some major changes with his body as well.
Yes, he has a better diet. He understands, where he is at the age of 54. And speaking of that, you know, the older golfers, Adam Scott just finished with 66 today. He's
wow.
Moved up the leaderboard. But golf is a game where, you know, no matter how old you are, except I'm too old to play it anymore. But
nonsense, but, Charlie.
But, you know, golf's a great game. Golf's
Charlie, how about Mateo, man? And we're going to get to Tiger Woods in a second, so stick around for that. We're going to talk about how Tiger did this week, what's to come for him. Tiger missed the cut, and now he's flying to Michigan to watch Charlie play in the U.S. Junior. But just as far as this game, Charlie, you know, Mateo Manassero is a name who, you know, 10 years ago he was coming out of high school in Italy, and he was going to be the next great one. And he won early on the DP World Tour, very early. And then we didn't hear from him for, you know, 7-8 years. And he won earlier this year on the DP World Tour and qualified for the Open. And now he's tied for 17th. There's not many other sports where you can just lose your game for 7-8 years and then come back, go contend again in majors.
Well, that is so true. And my good friend Jim Flick, who I taught with for many years with Golf Digest, he always wanted to warn everybody. He said, the pursuit of distance will mess your game up all the time. And Manassero from Italy, he was a young man with really his physique was not. He was kind of like Hogan. You know, Hogan couldn't play in these days. Games today playing against guys that are 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
And so he tried to get more distance, and it hurt him in the long run.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, another the proprietor that arguably, Charlie, could be Tiger Woods and
yes.
his pursuit for distance back in 2008.
Yep.
And he is reaping the painful, maybe not – I wouldn't say his injuries now are because of his workouts in 2008, but Tiger's body, clearly under the gun, has gone through a lot of damage since that devastating car accident in 2021. His right leg in shreds, and he has not finished better than 45th in a major since. However, you know, Charlie, talk to our listeners about how much more Tiger has going on than what's going on the golf course.
Well, for example, Tiger, you know, he loves the Ryder Cup, and he loved playing in it, and we knew that he was going to be a great captain at in New York. but he chose to not take that responsibility because he has other chores that he's tending to, and he's not going to do anything else until he gets everything in order. And that's what, you know, I remember his dad saying, he's going to do more than just be a golfer. And so now he's trying to figure out live and how we get this professional game back in shape, because right now the professional game is in bad shape financially. Live have come in and screwed things up, and the PGA Tour took on more responsibility than it should. They're actually, I would say, close to being broke because of what they had to do and the numbers they're having to pay, pay the players. So we'll see how this works out, and hopefully Tiger will be right there, and he's going to be on our side dealing with the people who have brought Liv into play, and so they got to get it back in order, make it make sense.
Are you surprised? I mean, at a venue like Bethpage and the fans there, and how much New York brings it at Bethpage, whether it's U.S. Opens or Ryder Cups. Are you surprised that that's something Tiger didn't want to feel?
Well, no, I think he'll be an assistant captain. He'll be there the week of the tournament. His presence is worth a lot, and he will, you know, be in the locker room helping with the pairings and so on and so forth. He won't be the face of the Ryder Cup, but he'll be in the locker room trying to figure this out, because we got to get that cup back.
Keegan said Keegan's going to have a great group around him. I mean, he said Michael Jordan, Charlie's going to be in the locker room. Of course, Keegan and MJ have a longstanding relationship as Jordan sponsors Keegan, but I'm glad that Keegan Bradley has, you know, as far as Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, that those are two pretty good names to get your team fired up.
Oh yeah, and they're athletes, and they know what competition is all about, and hearing all of the one-on-one stories that these players go through on the basketball court, that can transfer to the one-on-one matches of the Ryder Cup.
Let's get to one question here. This is from Paul in Humble. Charlie, I've been to Scotland twice to golf, and I noticed that golf ranges are not as popular over there as they are here in the United States. Why is that?
Well, because, you know, in building the game and starting the game, they were just interested in having holes to play. And so when they built golf courses, they didn't include land where they could come out and hit balls. So the driving range is a thing that developed in the United States. I mean, I grew up in Argentina, and we didn't have a driving range down there. The golf course was built in the 40s, and so right now the golf courses are there's more driving ranges that you can go practice, but a lot of, you know, the great Wingfoot had a very they didn't want to waste land on hitting balls. They wanted to design a golf course and go play it. So that's pretty much the case. The driving range evolved over the popularity of teaching in sport of golf.
I feel like, you know, a lot of, you know, I watch Justin Rose play through the wind, and I watch, you know, Jason Day playing the wind, Adam Scott, some of those guys from the Aussie Sand Belt. And, you know, and then you watch players like Tyrrell Hatton, who did miss the cut, but it just seems like they are so good at not hitting the ball above tree high, Charlie.
Oh yeah, they control that trajectory real well, and it's a design of the iron game is an 80% swing. A driver, you're using 100% swing. So if you want to control the flight of the golf ball, you got to spin it less. And there was always a saying, swing easy when it's breezy. And over in Scotland, that is true, and learn how to play with what's called shaft lean. The shaft has to be in front of the ball and the face of the club so that it doesn't get too much spin and loft to hit low piercing shots. You got to be out in front of the golf ball and don't hang back and try to hit those high hooks.
Great work there, Charlie. We have one more segment to go. We'll make a pick for the weekend. We'll talk about some of these past opens at Royal Troon. Obviously, 1962 was a historic year with Arnold Palmer winning his second British Open and then going to captain the Americans to victory at Atlanta Athletic Club. Talk about maybe, you know, as far, you know, the winners at Royal Troon, Arnold Palmer, Tom Weisskopf, Tom Watson, Mark Calcavecchia. Does Charlie see what he saw in any of those winners that he sees similar things in some of the names atop this leaderboard? Shane Lowry, Justin Rose, Billy Horschel, Scotty Scheffler, all in the top five of the Open. We got one more segment to go here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
And go ahead and tune in to NBC right now. Match 34 going off the first tee. Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, absolute powerhouse pairing. Shane Lowry, the leader of this tournament, he'll go off at 3:45 our time here in the States. But Charlie, was just looking back as far as age and winners of the Open Championship. Justin Rose is in a tie for second at 5 under. And at 43 years old, he would be the fourth oldest winner of the Open Championship and the oldest since your good friend Roberto DiVincenzo won in 1967 at 44 years old.
How about that? That was so memorable in my eyes, Roberto winning his major championship in England. And so the old still have a chance, and I like Justin Rose's opportunity to win this weekend. He's right. He's in good position, and he knows how to take the golf ball around the tricks of this golf course because he's played it so much. So I like his chances.
Yeah, Rick, in North Shore was inquiring about qualifying this week and the importance of qualifying in U.S. Opens and British Opens. And it was really a question that came up as far as Dan Brown is concerned, because this is an unknown Englishman who had to final qualify to get a spot in the Open. Looking at the records, Justin Rose had to post scores of 66-68 in final qualifying to earn his 21st career appearance into the Open. Had to get in. This is a U.S. Open champion, 2013 U.S. Open champion, who had to get into qualifying. How important is it that this aspect of the game, qualifying, sticks around?
Well, it's because there's kids of 18 that can qualify for the tournament, and if you're 43 like Justin Rose, where you know your best days are behind you, you can still have the opportunity. It's you have the right. You apply and you put a number up on the board, and he did it. My hat's off to him, and everybody should have a chance, especially if you're a professional, to go over to Scotland and try to qualify for the Open Championship. I did it. I was really impressed. That really helped me get more in love with the game of golf. Scottish golf over there is so much different than the United States. So I encourage everybody to go to Scotland and play.
Talking about these past Opens at Troon, Charlie, you've seen a ton of them. Arnold Palmer, 1962. Tom Weisskopf, 1973. Tom Watson, 1982. And Mark Calcavecchia, 1989. Palmer, Weisskopf, Watson, Calc. Any of those four names have anything in common?
Yeah, they won the championship. I mean, and they won it.
Well,
because,
dumb question. Yeah, maybe as far as the golf game is concerned.
Yeah, but they all have the knack for the short game. And Cal Kvecka hit one of the best chips I've ever seen over a bunker and made it, and it went in the hole. Those type of shots are so much important over there. The chipping, pitching, and putting—that's the game. And the drive, you got to really just, like Arnold Palmer was a great driver of the golf ball, and he went over there in 63 because he could keep the ball in. He hit it low, and he could keep it in the fairway. So there's different ways to win this golf course, but you got to be able to chip, pitch, and putt.
No doubt, Charlie. A couple other questions. One is regarding Rory, and one is regarding course management in Scotland. Let's start with Rory. You know, Rory's had a long year, one that he's won, has not won a major. That 11-year drought remains. He shot rounds of 78, 75 this week at Royal Troon. How should fans be feeling about Rory going into the off season?
Well,
not the off season yet. 3 weeks away from the playoffs.
You know, Rory's a champion, and he, like Rudy Tomjanovich, you got to trust the heart of a champion. And he'll be back. He's trying his best to get in the winner's circle, and it's hard. It's hard to win on the PGA Tour, and it's hard to compete. You know, he was a good player when he was 18, 19, and 20. Now he's 35. He's got a family. He's starting. So many more distractions, but yet his name is on his golf bag, and that's the way he has chosen to make a living. And so he'll be back. I feel very, very strong about Rory.
And he had a strong year nonetheless. Tied for second at the U.S. Open. It's not what he wanted, but it was a very commendable finish. And Rory, it wouldn't surprise me if he made a huge run to win his third FedEx Cup his third FedEx Cup championship in the last 10 years. Let's get to a question from Rick in North Shore. Charlie, you answered this last segment, but Rick is just joining us. Charlie, I'm here at Royal Troon this week, and I've been watching defending champion Brian Harman over the first two rounds. I haven't seen him hit a shot above tree high. How can I add that to my game at home during windy days?
Be 5'6" the way he is. I don't know how tall the guy is, but
about 5'6", Charlie, spot on.
So, it's a matter of, just like I said, the iron play is an 80% of your swing, so that you can control the spin of the golf ball. The harder you go at it, the more spin you're going to add to the shot. So you want to hit punt shots with an abbreviated finish, a shorter backswing, abbreviated finish to control the trajectory of the golf ball. The ball has to be played back in your stance. You've got to be able to move your body in front of the ball to keep that lag going, and you can control the trajectory, and then make sure that the lie is the one you want to be able to hit it low. If you've got one of those little uphill lies, the ball's going to spin up anyway. So good luck.
And Charlie, I mean, I feel a lot of people it's tough to prepare for this in the States, but how about putting in the wind and on those big greens on Lynx Golf? That's nothing. It's nothing like you see here in America.
Yeah, that is a great question. And chipping and putting is such a part of that. I can remember a caddy. We were on the sixth hole at St. Andrews, and my partner, Dr. Ferris, had about a 90-foot putt. And he said, well, which way does this break? And he says, you hit that one, and we'll line up the next one. And once you get to a certain distance, distance is more important than direction. So you got to become a good lag putter. Bobby Jones, the famous Bobby Jones, was a great lag putter from 30, 40, 50 feet. He had his old Calamity Jane putter, and he could lag it up within the leather all the time. So practice your lag putting.
And now, how about speed control, Charlie? What's the best way for the listener at home to improve their speed control, limit those three putts?
Well, you've got to really practice, and that's what I convinced Angel Cabrera. The one way he's going to win the Masters is practice, and so you got to get dedicated, get to the golf course in time for practicing not only your driver but your putter. And I see very little people on the putting green. I see more people on the driving range. And you're not going to improve your putting on the driving range.
No doubt. And it's something that everyone can do as far as preparing for Lynx Golf. As far as who you're expecting to win this week, Charlie, you got about 2 minutes left. Shane Lowry, Justin Rose, two of the bigger names on top of this leaderboard. Shane Lowry is an Open champion. Justin Rose, a U.S. Open champion. But you also have players who came out early today and posted low numbers. Justin Thomas, 5-under through 14 today. He's moved up to a tie for eighth. Jason Day, 1-under par and a tie for eighth after rounds of 73-68. You've got Adam Scott, who's coming off a third round 66 in moving day. Looking down this leaderboard, who do you think? You got world number one Scottie Scheffler in a tie for fifth. Who are you thinking comes out of here with the claret jug, Charlie?
Well, number one, Will, we've seen what the morning round has done, and the winds being down and calm. There's been some great scores put on the board, starting with Justin Thomas. So let's see how they finish this afternoon. But right now, I'm going to go with experience. And Sean Lowry, he's been trending so well this year. He hadn't won. So this is a good tournament for him to play because he likes the conditions. I love Justin Rose. I don't know about Brown. I don't know him. And I'd be very surprised if he was able to do it. And then, of course, our good friend Scottie Scheffler has put himself in position. And so let's see what he shoots today on the back nine, especially, and see if he can get himself up there in the fray. And he could be leading at the end of the day. But Sean Lowry is my pick.
I think Shane Lowry, I think you fast forward to Sunday, he's hoisting claret jug number two and enjoying a ton of Guinnesses. Charlie, great work this morning. Everyone go turn on NBC, enjoy the 152nd Open Championship.
Have a good time, everybody, and watch the Open.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf.
ESPN. 97.5.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.